Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to be with you again this morning. Let's open our Bibles together to Philippians chapter 3. We're continuing this series of living in the colony of heaven. Very, very important passage in the book of Philippians. Page numbers up on the screen for those less familiar. Grab a pew Bible. Love to have you look at the scriptures. Warm greetings to everybody online, in the chapel, around the world, wherever it is that you are. Welcome, and we're glad to be together. After I retired in 2019, a group of friends decided that we should do some hiking together. And so I got invited to hike the Grand Canyon from rim to rim, 25 miles in one day. Now, not being a hiker at all, I thought I should probably go and get some advice from people who were. And I got a lot of really good advice. The very first advice I got was make sure you have got a lot of water, because people die from heat exhaustion on this hike every single year. And they go out, it's 183 degrees in the canyon kind of a thing. And so I took that advice. Somebody else told me, make sure you stop along the hike and observe the beauty of all that God had created. That was really, really good input. Maybe the best advice that I got was simply this. In order to hike the Grand Canyon, you gotta just keep picking them up and putting them down until you get out of it. In other words, if you walk into that hole, you gotta walk out of it. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, you just gotta get to the top. And that's what we did. We made it in a little over 12 hours, and I thought that was awfully good. Well, since that trip, I've discovered that advice, picking them up and putting them down, is applicable not only for long hikes, but also for accomplishing any long-haul pursuit. You know, it doesn't sound very romantic, but in order to stay married for decades, you got to keep picking them up and putting them down. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? You just got to keep going. And the same thing applies to finishing an education. If you never got through college and you always wanted to go back, the only way to do it is just you got to start picking them up and putting them down. It's the way through all kinds of things. It's the way that you build a business. It's the way that you clean a house. It's the way that you get through potty training. You just got to keep picking them up and putting them down until you're done with all of this. And interestingly, according to our passage of study, that principle also applies to the way that you and I and we should approach our spiritual life. The Christian life, in many, many ways, is about plodding. You just got to keep picking them up and putting them down until you get to the finish line with the Lord. And that's what we're going to see in our text of study. That principle is going to be taught loud and clear. But before we dig in, let me just remind you of the historic context. Last week, Pastor Alphonse explained how one of the reasons Paul was writing this letter was because some false teachers had kind of weaseled their way into the church and were bringing a false message that in order to be a Christian, you needed to do more than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You also had to practice law keeping and become a Jew. And this was obviously applicable to the men who had to undergo the medical procedure of circumcision according to the Old Testament law. And so Paul warned them in chapter 3 about this teaching. It was really, really direct and straightforward. See it with me, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. This will set our context and then launch us into our study. Paul says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Those are kind of derogatory comments, but they are right on and applicable to those who demanded the practice of circumcision for salvation. Paul calls them mutilators of the flesh. And so what's he saying? Watch out or beware of any teaching that adds any kind of law-keeping to the equation of salvation. Because the Bible teaches very, very clearly that we are saved and forgiven of our sins as a free gift from God. It's received by grace alone, apart from the doing of any good works. And not even the Apostle Paul, with his unparalleled dedication to law keeping, could earn his own forgiveness by practicing religious rituals. And that became very clear to him when the risen Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And as a result of that meeting, Paul did a spiritual audit of all of his law-keeping theology and practices. And he came to the conclusion that rather than being spiritually rich because of it, he was spiritually bankrupt because of it. And as a result of all of that, that meeting with Jesus convinced him that all of that law keeping and all of his attempts to earn his own forgiveness, it was worthless. He calls it in chapter 3, verse 8, rubbish. Literally, it's dung is the word that Paul uses here, because it had no power to save him. So he made a decision. He was going to exchange all of that law-keeping and religious rule-keeping for a brand new goal in life. And he mentioned that goal in chapter 3 and verse 10, simply with this phrase, that I may know him. That became the focus of the apostle's life. He came to know the Lord Jesus at the moment of his salvation. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, say amen. Amen. At that moment, you came to know him. And that knowledge saves you. And as Pastor Alphonse mentioned, we rest in the Lord's provision. We cut anchor with all of our attempts to do good works to show God how worthy we are of his forgiveness. We just cut anchor with it. And we come then by faith and put our trust solely, and we rest completely, and we rejoice forevermore in all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We come to the conclusion that what missionary Jim Elliot said was true. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's the message of salvation. I'm going to give it all up and put my trust only in him. And there's nothing that compares in value to knowing the Lord Jesus. Well, after knowing him in salvation, from that moment on, Paul wanted to know the Lord Jesus better and better and better every single day. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, more and more understanding how he could love him, be like him, and serve him. And that knowing the Lord Jesus, not only in salvation, but in relationship, came his goal every single day. Lord, I just want to know you better and better and better. His whole focus in life, just knowing the Lord Jesus. That's really clear from the first 10 verses in chapter 3. Well, as we come now into our text of study, Paul is just going to say to the folks, you know, that's a great goal to have. I haven't reached it yet. I'm not there yet. I still got a ways to go. See how he states it starting in verse 12. We'll read it in its entirety and then come back and tear it apart. Paul writes this, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had known the Lord about 30 years when he wrote this letter. He admitted, "I'm not where I want to be just yet here." But rather than thinking himself as a failure, rather than quitting, rather than giving up, Paul decided, you know what I need to do? I need to keep picking them up and putting them down. I need to just keep plodding away of getting to know the Lord Jesus better and better. And he summed all of that up twice in this passage where he says in verse 12, "But I press on." I just press on. The original word speaks of a pursuit of a goal, of a commitment and a dedication to keep going even when you want to quit. I simply press on because there's something out there that I want to go after and that I'm going to commit myself to. I press on. That's the message from the Lord this morning. And we're getting all kinds of examples of it in the Olympics here. There's a lot of pressing on. Maybe the greatest gymnast of all time, Simone Biles. At the Tokyo Games, she got the twisties. Remember that? She was supposed to win 800 gold medals in that Tokyo Games. But her brain got all mixed up and everything, and she pulled out of the whole competition. You talk about disappointment, but she didn't quit. She decided, "I'm going to go for Paris." And therefore, she had to press on. She had to set a goal and dedicate herself to accomplishing it. And that's probably true of every sprinter, of every rower, of every basketball player, volleyball player, of every golfer, all the various events. Gold medals are won not by quitting, but by pressing on. You understand that? You got to just keep picking them up and putting them down. Well, the same is absolutely true in our spiritual lives. We got to just keep pressing on, both individually and as a congregation. So, here's a lesson. Did you come to hear from the Lord this morning? Yeah. Here's a lesson that we're going to be emphasizing. In every single one of our lives, we've got to make a decision pretty much every day, sometimes multiple times throughout the day. Am I going to reject passivity? There's a lot of thoughts, you know, about the whole let go and let God thing. We all rest in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. There's nothing that we can do to add to it. We just receive the free gift. Well, then Paul says, based upon that free gift, now there's going to be some work that we've got to do and dedication and commitment that we have to make based upon the free gift that we've received. And that decision is going to revolve around rejecting this idea that I can just be passive in my spiritual life and somehow grow to know the Lord Jesus better and better every single day. Doesn't happen. Nobody drifts closer to Jesus. Nobody. You always drift further and further and further away. And therefore, we have to actively press on. Press on. Press on. So this morning, you and I, we have a decision to make. What are we going to do with Jesus? We know and love the Lord Jesus. He saved us from our sins. You probably wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that. Well, now the Christian life, it's not real sexy. It's not real fancy. We got to read the book, and then we have to take a step of faith. And then we take another one. And that's the day. And we got to take another one. That's discipleship. That's walking in the way of Jesus with the heart of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. But it won't happen unless we commit to it and press on towards the goal. See? And the scriptures just simply encourage us in so many different ways. Keep going. So many of you are doing this. I just want to tell you, keep going. Keep picking them up and putting them down. Just keep going. And you'll get to the finish line. In my preparation, I thought, 1968, the Olympics were on my mind here in Mexico City. A runner from Tanzania, John Akwari was his name, running the marathon, 26 miles, long race. And around mile 19, he got near some runners and they were kind of jockeying for position. And he got knocked down and fell and dislocated his knee. And you know what he did? He got up and kept running. And kept running and kept running. He came in last place. 57 folks finished before. The winner was 2 hours and 20 minutes. He came in at 3 hours and 25 minutes. Took him an hour longer. And there were hardly very few people in the stadium when he finished. And some folks from the media came up and they said, how come you kept running? He said this, my country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. To my dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are mature in age. Easy to go passive. You get a little bit older. Kind of been there, done that. Not a whole lot new. World gets a little smaller. We think, what good can I do? Press on. God's not done with you yet. Didn't call you to just start this race. Called you to finish it. And so you got to set that goal. What's the next thing, Lord, that you have for me? It's true for all of us. Long-term project. Some of you that are still raising kids, parenting is a keep picking them up and putting them down strategy. Same with our grandkids. Just a lot more fun with your grandkids. You keep picking them up, putting them down. And all of life is that way. And if you're thinking that being a Christian in today's divided world, especially here in our American culture, that's just too hard and that the mocking of the things that we hold precious, as we saw this last weekend, you know, what are we going to do? Just going to quit and not call ourselves Christians anymore and not follow? No, we just got to keep picking them up and putting them down until we get to the end. See? So I just want to encourage you this morning, reject passivity. You're going to have to take some intentional steps. And I have no idea what that will be like for you. But that's what I would encourage you to think about and pursue in your own heart. How are you doing with the Lord? Or have you kind of just turned that temperature down lower and lower and lower? Press on. That's the message. Now, with that stated, Paul was our example. He pressed on in four ways. Let me go through these quickly. Emmanuel Faith Church, as individuals and corporately, we press on with first humble honesty, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it. The this refers to knowing Jesus better and better. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't achieved that complete understanding of the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, conformity to his death until I attained the resurrection from the dead. Hadn't gotten there yet. And that's after following the Lord for 30 years and become one of the most godly men who ever lived. Still had a ways to go. That's why he adds, or I am already perfect. He still had to deal with the sin principle, just like I do, just like you do, every single day. He still had to deal with the weaknesses of his flesh, just like I do, just like you do. He had all kinds of relationship struggles, just like I do and just like you do. So what do? We just quit when times get tough and things get difficult? No, we admit it. We're just not there yet. And I don't know why it's so hard. I think it gets a little easier when you get a little bit older. Yeah, I'm not very good at that. Yeah, I totally messed that up. I'm really sorry. And for us as a church, the Lord's done some really great things here. Is he done with us? Well, we've got to press on. We've got to keep going here. We don't want to go passive, think that our best days are behind us. With humble honesty, I'm not all that God wants me to be yet. So I want to press on today. Secondly, we press on with disciplined priority. Why was Paul so committed to this active pursuit? Verse 12, I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. On that road to Damascus, when he met the Lord personally in Acts chapter 9, it's all recorded for us, Jesus laid hold of Paul. He took him as his own. He became a child of God. He came into God's forgiven family. He was saved. As a result, he became Jesus' man, just like you. He became Jesus' woman, Jesus' sister, Jesus' brother. The moment that you believed, you came into that family. He made you his own, you and me. Well, the moment that that happened, God began another work in you. He saved you. But at that moment of salvation, he began another work in you to make you just like Jesus. And everything that comes into your life now has that goal. That's why he permits all of those things. Though Satan should buffet, though trial shall come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Everything is working according to the Lord's plan. And that's where the acronym SBIGO came from. Remember SBIGO? Something bigger is going on. So every trial that you experience, every difficulty, something bigger is going on, and it's intended to make you like Jesus. And God's going to stay at that and conform you to the image of his son. That's the work that God is doing now in the life of every single believer. Making you like Jesus. And it's a work that he is going to complete according to the scriptures. I'm sure of this, Paul says, that he, God, who began the good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So he's just working and working and working and working to make you like Jesus. God is doing his part. What we're talking about this morning is doing our part. We rest in Jesus, in everything that he has provided, and then we flip that coin over, and a lot of the scriptures talk about our part in this. And in this context, it's going to be pressing on, putting out the effort. God's not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning for your own salvation. We've already settled that. We're resting and rejoicing in Jesus' salvation. Now, every single day becomes my opportunity, your opportunity, our opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. A disciplined priority. Make every effort. We press on in the reading of the scriptures, meditating, thinking about what they mean. We press on in our daily conversations with the Lord, inviting him into every circumstance and every response. When I'm angry, we invite him in. Lord, I'm ticked off right now. I'm jealous right now. Lord, I'm as happy as can be right now. Lord, I don't get this. Lord, I need to make this sale to put food on the table this week. We just put out the effort. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say through his word in our minds and in our hearts. And then we take that step of faith and we keep picking them up and putting them down. Dennis, I tried that and I failed at it. Welcome to the club. Paul says, I failed at it too. Verse 13, brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own. I'm not there yet. You see, it's not about perfection. It's never going to be about perfection. But it's always about the pursuit of what's in my heart to do and what's in my heart to be. And the propensity sometimes to get lazy and go passive or to go to the other extreme and act arrogantly. We just come back to this point where we have to press on and discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. There's effort here. I don't know, is it a priority for you? You need to press on. Starts with honest humility, involves disciplining yourself as a priority. It's certainly going to involve a refined focus of your life. That's what it took Paul. Verse 13, he writes, but one thing I do, and it's interesting to me, in the original language of the Greek text, the words I do are not there. So what Paul wrote was, but one thing. I think it was his way to emphasize his singular focus. But one thing. What was his one thing? Getting to know Jesus better and better and better. And in our world, there's a lot of one things. We've got to provide, and we do like recreating and got kids and got the grandkids. We have health and we have arts and we have all kinds of great things. Real question comes down to what's our real one thing? And I don't know about you, it's why I need the church. Why I need to gather, because it helps me realign. What's my one thing? Because there's a lot of other one things out there, and they're all good, but what's my real one thing? See? The refined focus. So, I don't know. I know what the Lord has for you. But the scriptures tell us, run in such a way that you may win. Commit yourself to that one thing. Realign your focus. Line yourself up. Lord Jesus, I want what you want. Whether anybody else does it or not. What does it mean for us? Verse 13, forgetting what lies behind. That doesn't mean that counselors or therapy is unimportant. That doesn't mean that glancing in the rearview mirror is a bad thing. I think it's a very good thing to do. So understand where you've come from and how it impacts you today. You got to understand that. The worst thing that you can do when driving is stare in that rearview mirror. That's the worst thing that you can do. And I think that's what happens to some people is we get stuck. We just get stuck looking back. Paul says, that's not going to help you press on. All of that guilt and the shame, guilt for what we've done wrong, the shame is that I'm a bad person. And it paralyzes times. Paul says, Jesus covered all of that. So forget what lies behind, verse 13, strain forward to what lies ahead. You got to stretch those muscles and press on. Humble honesty, discipline priority, refined focus with eternal certainty. What motivated Paul? Put out the effort, verse 14. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was called to salvation on that road to Damascus. Every single day he had a calling to know the Lord better and better and better. Well, according to this verse, there was also a future calling that Paul was going to experience one day. An upward call, a heavenward call into God's glorious presence. And what would happen when that calling came? Paul would obtain the prize of knowing Jesus fully. Unattainable in this life to know him fully. Sin principle and all that goes on in our lives, impossible. But every believer in Christ is assured a day is coming when she or he will say, as Paul says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then what are we going to see? We're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will what? Know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Someday. You know, those folks that win gold medals, they all go up on that stand and they're given this gold medal and the big award ceremony and everything. You think it's going to be any less for us? Someday, our faith will be sight. Someday, we will rest from our labors. And according to 1 John chapter 3, someday we'll be like him because we're going to see him just as he is. Have you sent a loved one on ahead of you? I want you to just imagine these sprinters, if you will. They get out there and they run, and that winner, she or he, stretches for that tape. And as soon as they see that they're won, they've won, those hands go up like this. I just want you to imagine Kalani Jones battling cancer for years. Emily Minchow. Greg mentioned Emily's services Wednesday, this Wednesday, I think at 1:30. And Ed is here and Lori is here. We're sorry, Helen, we're sorry for your loss. But I just want you to imagine. But until that day comes, what do you and I and we do? Come on, what do? You keep picking them up, putting them down. That's the way that we do it. So let me wrap this up. Our challenge. Keep on keeping on. And for anyone who is relatively new at Emmanuel Faith Church, this is an important comment that's been a part of our history for decades that you really need to know. It came as a result of the loss of a pastor. Dr. Coy Merritt was a second senior pastor of the church. Earl Morgan was the first. He served for 7 years here during the World War II era. And then Coy came, and God used Dr. Merritt in a marvelous way. He apparently drove a little Volkswagen Beetle that you would hear early in the morning starting up. And I think he led most everybody in the church to faith in Christ himself. He was just quite a papa bear. And Emmanuel Faith Church started in a house over on 7th and Escondido Boulevard. And they ended up buying several homes, and then they built a Quonset hut that's right next door to Dell's Barbershop there at Escondido and 7th. It's now a Spanish, a Gethsemane Spanish church. That's the old Emmanuel Faith. And at that time, they were running 3 morning services, 2 evening services, and they knew they needed to do something. And so after a lot of soul searching, some of you have been through this, after a lot of soul searching, they decided to buy 17 and a half acres on the boonies of Escondido at the corner of Felicita and Encino, where we sit today. And they borrowed the money. They got to work. They built this facility that we're in this morning. Pastor Coy went away for a much-needed vacation up to British Columbia at the age of 56 and dropped dead of a heart attack in the campground. So what in the world is Emmanuel Faith Church going to do? In the middle of this building program and middle of everything, what in the world were they going to do? They decided to keep on keeping on. They kept picking them up and putting them down. Pastor Jim Welch and the elders at the time called a friend of Emmanuel Faith Church, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. We need a new pastor. He said, try Huntsville, Alabama, and Dr. Richard Strauss. And so Dr. Strauss came. Early 1970s, he and Mary and the kids, 4 boys. And God used Richard, maybe one of the finest Bible teachers I ever heard. And 1989, man, I just hate cancer. Just bone cancer got him, multiple myeloma. And he battled heroically for 4 years. And then the Lord just took him home. And what were we going to do? We're going to panic. Going to doubt the Lord's goodness? Nope. We're going to keep picking them up and putting them down. We're going to keep on keeping on. And the elders called a brash. Never been a senior pastor before in his life. And by the grace of God, and God faithfully, we just keep on keeping on. And now with Pastor Ryan and with all of the faithful elders of our church and all you faithful lay folks, what are we going to do? We're going to press on. We're just going to keep pressing on because that's what the scriptures tell us to do. Let's just press on and keep getting to know the Lord better and better and better. You got to reject passivity. Now, all the faithful pastors who have gone on and served and all the faithful lay women and lay men who have gone on, we just press on each day, picking them up and putting them down. But it really starts in our hearts, doesn't it? That's where it all begins. And thus, as we conclude our time, let's bow our heads together. All right, everybody take a deep breath, will you? Let me make sure you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. If you've been trying to earn your forgiveness by being good, the scriptures just tell you God saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. You're not going to make it. By no works of the law shall any flesh be justified in his sight. So you got to cut anchor. And if you haven't done that yet, Jesus, save me. I'm sorry. And I know I can't. I admit that I can't earn this, so I'm going to put my trust fully in you. Come into my heart and save me. Anybody for the first time? I hope you will. Anybody been spiritually passive? Just drifting? Forget what lies behind. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. So thank the Lord for forgiveness. Reaffirm your commitment and submit to him. Walk in accordance with his word. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And Lord Jesus, we want to be careful always to lift you high here. You are Lord and want you, Lord of my life, of our lives, of this church, by your Holy Spirit and in accordance with your word, that you, Father, would be pleased by all that we do. So thank you again for the great privilege of being together. And Lord, we'll do our best by the power of your Spirit to keep picking them up and putting them down. So help us to that end today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.